for a nice time of fellowship. Oh Lord, sometimes you wish we can just remain like this. After, especially the last speaking, I was wondering, maybe we should just pray and go home. The Lord has been so gracious to us this few days of the conference. Personally, I thank the Lord so much. I was checking with some of the brothers and I said, looking back now, do you think it was a good decision to be in the conference? And praise the Lord, they were all in the affirmative. Me too. So going in the next topic, it's the Holy Anointing. I have prepared a long sermon. And after the infusion of life, I asked myself this question this morning. What is better? To tell you about the special spices, very special spices. Talks about 500 shekels of myrrh, 200 shekels of sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of calamus, and then 500 shekels of cassia. Four very special spices. Mixed with 5.5 or 5.7 liters of olive oil. Is that what you really want to hear this morning? I like to read a verse in Deuteronomy, which we read on Saturday, chapter 30, in verse 19. Please, I'll read. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Building on this, through the anointing, we won't spend so much time about the meaning of myrrh, calamus, cinnamon, cassia, and olive oil. But we'll spend a little time for the sake of the new ones to introduce these. But I think we need to spend some more time to know how to apply this anointing, how to use it daily. Amen. And how to be in the anointing. This is my feeling, that with this, the Lord will give us so much life. But I'll read 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 26 and 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you.
And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie,
We saw, or we can also check a little bit about the composition, because we need that to understand what the anointing truly is. In Exodus chapter 30, it talks about the different, very special spices. And these spices, like I tried to mention, is a... Maybe we read it. Exodus 30. In Exodus chapter 30, we read 22. Moreover, the Lord, from 22 then, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. In 25 he says, and you shall make from this a holy anointing oil, and an ointment compound according to the art of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, an altar of incense, an altar of burnt offering, with all its utensils, and lava and its base. You shall consecrate them, and they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. 30, and you shall anoint
Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priests.
And we are priests. Amen. So we need the anointing.
Amen.
I was going through this and I said, what a wonderful recipe. And it's not just a wonderful recipe, it has a trademark. Because if you read down, it said, you shall not make of this kind of anointing oil. Back home in Toronto, there are two particular sisters that make cake so much. And they have wonderful recipes. The good thing about recipe is if you apply everything, you'll get the same thing everywhere, right? The same heat, the same quantity of everything. So the anointing must be very special. Why was God so particular about the quantity? Having said that, then we should ask ourselves, so what is really this anointing? When we mix it together, as we saw in the Old Testament, you have to anoint the utensils in the temple, and then you have to anoint the priest on the head. And if we read that, it says, it shall not touch man's flesh. So that means the anointing must be very holy. So when I got to this, I asked some questions. So what is the anointing then? The Lord was gracious, yeah? I used to think that the anointing is a spirit, isn't it? Yes?
Yes?
Yes? Maybe that is not complete as our understanding of the Spirit. Maybe I should say the anointing is the compound Spirit. And so, you know, in some places in the Bible, Jesus is regarded as the anointed one. So if the anointing is a spirit, how come Jesus is the anointed one? Jesus is the anointing, the anointed one, and then the Spirit is the anointing. But when we read further, if we go to John chapter 16, maybe we'll see something clearer. In John chapter 16, I'd like to read from verse 5 to verse 7. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you.
Amen.
So, when the Lord was physically with the disciples, he told them, it is more to your advantage that I go away. What would you prefer, that the Lord be here in person with us, or that he would go away? He said, when I go away, it's better for you. So when we combine this with our little understanding of the Old Testament, that these different aspects of Christ, the four spices mixed with the oil, is a combination of Jesus Christ in his humanity, mixed with the Spirit. So we now have a compound Spirit. Now this is what we as believers need as the anointing. This is the only way that we can overcome the world. Because he has, in his humanity, he has a perfect life. He lived as a perfect humanity. He died. He resurrected. But he came down again, now as a life-giving spirit. And this is what he said, it is more advantageous to you that I go away. So today, the anointing is Christ. Both to give us his perfect humanity and also as the Spirit. So there's a combination. It's a combined Christ in his living and in his divinity. So, if we have this anointing, he says this anointing will lead us. Where we read says, will teach us all things.
Amen.
But there's a better rendering. He says, he will guide us. There's something better than something just teaching you and something guiding you.
Right.
This is a way to fill us with himself. And if we have this anointing, you realize that it becomes easier for us not to love the world. Our biggest problem is we don't have this, so much of this anointing. But the good news is that we all receive the anointing. However, this anointing needs to grow in us. As the anointing grows, it begins to swallow up the world, the lust, as we just saw, the negative lust, or the negative love, which is lust. When the anointing grows, I was sharing an experience with some younger ones, and I said, have you noticed that when you spend so much time with God and in the things of God, you begin to lose taste for the things of the world? This is my experience. But when you stay too far from the things of God and from the Word, before you know it, you begin to blend in. So, it doesn't just teach us. I used to also think that teaching us means it will teach us all things. No, the anointing will teach us all things in Christ. Because he says he will not teach you anything that is not about me. What I've received from the Father, I would give to you. Back home, people have made quite some flippant remarks about the anointing. Somebody will say he received anointing to succeed in business. No. You cannot receive anointing to succeed in business. No. Because the anointing can only guide you inside Christ. I'd like to read just a few verses which really impressed me. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So, do we remember what Christ is? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So, if we just go down to chapter 4, in verse 25 and 26. He says, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why did the nations rage and the people plan vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. Praise the Lord. If we just flip to where this place was taken from, Psalms chapter 2. In Psalms chapter 2, in verse 2, the kings of the earth said themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. So Christ is the anointed one. Meaning that the anointing that we speak today is nothing but Christ. This all-inclusive Christ. So he can only lead us to the Father. I try to get certain explanations about how can we then apply this anointing. You know, I got so excited when I saw what the anointing can do, and I was asking myself, so how can we get this anointing? Or how can we increase this anointing? Of course, we know that we all have received the anointing, but how do we increase in the anointing, and how do we abide in the anointing? It talks about the place I gave here is about the consecration of the priest. It talks about how we need to be washed. If we read it, we will see that washing is also the washing of the water in the Word. The more time we spend in the world, something is happening. We're being washed. But two things are happening. While we're being washed, we are also being filled with the Word. And from what we've heard in the last 2 days, we also saw that the Word is God Himself. So the more we are being washed from the world, we're also being filled with God. So, if we want more anointing, we need to come to the Word regularly. When we come to the Word of God regularly, we're being filled. And this filling does two things. It washes the world away and fills us with God. The last brother said, and we read in 1 John, that when we have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. If we love the Father, we would desire to be filled with the Word of God. In Colossians, he says, and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. If I just remove, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then we saw that Christ is the anointed one. I can say, let the word of the anointing dwell in you richly. If we are filled so much with the word, and the word himself is God, we automatically begin to turn towards, I tried to draw a table. And I said, if this is the world, and this is the Father, right? There are two ends, and we are here. We notice that if we turn towards this direction, we are getting farther away from this point, right? If we have just a point like this, and this is the world, and this is the Father, and we're in the middle. When we move a little bit to this side, we are moving farther away from the Father. But when we move a little bit to this side, we're also moving farther away from the world. And how can we move more to this side? We need to love the Father. You cannot be filled with somebody. You cannot desire to be with somebody if you don't love him. And my experience, again, during these few days, everything tends to return back. You want to be filled with the anointing? You have to love the Father. When you love the Father, you will desire to be filled with the Word. If you're filled with the Word, the good thing the Word does is that it cleanses us. What does it cleanse us? It cleanses us from the love of the world. And the more it's cleansing us from the love of the world, we are loving the Father the more. And we are moving far away from the world. My boys in the house, I used to do a lot of illustrations with them One of the illustrations we did recently is that, have you sensed that when you're busy with the things of God, you lose thirst for so much time you spend with the things in the world? And I was so impressed because the three of them, they have the same confirmation. Because this is also what happens in me. So, one of the major ways we can have more anointing is for us to spend more time in the Word of God. The more we allow the Word to enter into us, two things are happening. First of all, we are being cleansed. Secondly, we are being filled with God. And the more we are being filled with God, the more we are anointed. And that's what each of us want. We want to be filled with the anointing. I'll give you an example. In Toronto, a prayer meeting is on Wednesdays. I noticed something. You know, when the saints are coming from work, when they come into the prayer meeting, they feel a little bit low, right? Why? Because where they are coming from? Yeah, they're coming from work, right? So you need to wind them up, right? But if you are coming to the prayer meeting right inside the car, you read the word, or you maybe even sing some spiritual songs, right? It's easier for you to enter into the prayer meeting. But when you are so filled with the work environment, right? Which is in our mind, right? When you now enter the prayer meeting, it's like, boom, you go down. So some saints, it takes time before you can wind them up, yeah? The same thing happens. The more time we spend with God, the more of the anointing we have. And if we have more anointing, the tendency is for us to love the Father more. But there is also another way. When we have the anointing within us, what is that? One of the things the anointing does, it speaks to us. But if the anointing speaks to us and we do not hear him, what happens? We grieve him, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 19. He says, do not quench the Spirit. So when the anointing speaks and we do not hear him or we do not obey, what happens? Okay, maybe we see the other one. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed the day of redemption. So this anointing that is in each one of us, which will grow day by day, this anointing will tell us, you don't have to do this. And then we disobey. What happens? We grieve him, right? You don't feel it? We grieve the Spirit. So if we really want the increase of the anointing, we must learn to obey the speaking of the anointing inside of us. The more we obey the speaking of the anointing inside of us, the more he speaks to us more. But when he speaks and we don't obey, after a while, we grieve him. And in Thessalonians, we saw, we even quench him. It's not that we have quenched him, but we have sensitized our ears not to hear him. So even though you're still a Christian, you're a brother, you're a sister, you're in the church, but it looks like God is not speaking to you. I know I have quite some experiences, especially about new ones. What they say is, I want to hear God speak to me. Don't you have this desire, especially the young ones? How do you feel when God speaks to you? I feel very happy. At least I can hear him speak to me. I had an experience 2 weeks ago. I was coming in a flight, and there's this young man that came in with his ears blocked with the
headphone,
and they were actually making an announcement in the public addressing system inside the plane, and they were talking about him, right? But his ears were blocked, right? He was sitting down in the plane, and for 5 minutes, the cabin attendant, they were looking for him, but he was sitting down there, and his ears were blocked. Until the air hostess came and said, "Are you not this person?" Then he removed it, and then he heard. He said, "Yeah, it's me." I said, "But we've been calling you." It's similar to when the Spirit is speaking with others, to us, and our ears are blocked. There's so many things that block our ears from hearing the Spirit speaking. Does the Spirit speak? Yes, he speaks to us. We have the anointing. And the anointing speaks to us. I was checking with a brother, and I said, "How come we have such wonderful spirit, and we make mistakes? Didn't the Lord promise us that it is better for us than he goes?" But in our experience, are we really enjoying the fact that he has gone and he has sent us the anointing? So in our daily life, we must encourage his speaking. If we block our ears with the earphone, we will not hear him. I don't know what the earphone is. But when we don't need to go too far, we should check whether he's speaking to us. A couple of things that could stop him from speaking to us. Again, if we want to increase the anointing within us, we cannot overemphasize this. I think this is what my greatest enjoyment in the Epistle of 1 John. We need to love the Lord. Because if we don't love him, we will not spend time in the world. And especially in this current age, there's so many things to distract us. So many. If it's not computer game, there's just so many things to take our time. And these things, like we just saw, are competing. But I want to live with you. If you need the anointing, if you need an increase of the anointing, you need the word to dwell in you richly. 1, 2, you also need to obey him when he speaks.
Right. Amen.
Then, on the protection side, you also need to reduce those other noise that will make you not to hear him. Saints, if we practice this, we will really experience the anointing within us. Amen. Then we can say in verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Amen. And you do not need that anyone should teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you and concerning all things, and it's true, and it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. This will become, short of saying, our real nature, that we can hear the Father speak to us. In everything, what a life we would have if in everything we can hear the Father speak to us. The Lord, when he was on earth, he was one with the Father. And this is what I want. And the only way I can have this, if I can give way to the anointing. And the anointing will speak to me, guide me, and lead me. There's so many very silly mistakes we make that we ought not to make if we listen to the anointing. And we shouldn't quench the Spirit as he speaks to us. And we should be careful to remove those other noises that prevents us from hearing the anointing.
Praise the Lord. It's good to hear that Christ is one.
Amen.
But within us, he is the anointing. I think John used... His choice of word is very important. He did not say we have the anointed within us. He says we have the anointing within us. When he was on earth, he was the anointed one. Within us, he is the anointing one. Really good. That means he is anointing us, applying something of himself into us. It's a process, and he abides within us and is imparting more and more of himself into us, all the spices that we have heard, which represents all that he went through, his humanity, his incarnation, his suffering, right? His resurrection, power and the effectiveness of his death and his resurrection is being applied into us. Just like the essential oils that Naomi talks about. It's something that we apply, right? Every day for healing, praise the Lord. So Christ within us is the anointing spirit, right? The anointing oil that is constantly applied to us to transform us, to heal us, right? To add us, First Peter said, Second Peter said, right? Adding into our faith all these virtues, right? Knowledge, self-control, godliness, love, brotherly love. And I'm very, excited to experience more of this anointing. All of these things added into me daily, especially in every situation. Just like Paul, when he was in prison, he experienced the bountiful supply of the Spirit, not just the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ, all that he is and all what he has accomplished. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Very quickly, I appreciate here the word that the anointing is true and is not a lie. When I first read that, I thought, well, it is true. Why does it still need to be said and it is not a lie? It's not necessary to point that out. The truth is not a lie, right? So, but remember in the very beginning, the other guy there, what he did with that commandment about not to eat about that tree? He deceived by lying.
And I must say, I often, even so the Lord has spoken, I question it. Maybe not about big things, right? We don't question God about major truth. But inside, many times the Lord has spoken already. Yet I would ask, well, was it really of God? Or did he really say that? Was it really that way? Really? I have a question mark that, you know, that question mark, the form, right? Like the snake. Yeah, that's what he does in us. He's questioning the anointing. And that's why it needs to be mentioned here. It is not a lie. Praise God. Amen.
The anointing is from the Holy One.
Amen.
And I appreciate these two meetings this morning. First, we need to be separated from the world. And then we can be sanctified by the holy anointing oil. And if you flip the order, it doesn't work so well, because you cannot pour the anointing oil on anything that is not holy. And so if our inward being is loving the Father, loving the Lord, loving his purpose, and we will very much experience the holy anointing oil.
Amen.
Otherwise, it's like speaking to that guy with the earphone. You can pour as much holy anointing oil, he will not hear anything. And so it's wonderful that if we obey the Lord and if we obey his speaking, he will sanctify us. He will make us holy as he is holy.
Amen.
Praise the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to share a little something about this this section where it says that, just like what Stefan said, that the anointing is true and is not a lie. And this point is very important, because in my experience, I have heard people who have said, the Spirit told me this, or the Spirit told me that. And one way that we know that it is not, is or is not the Spirit, is that whether it is true or not. Because the Spirit will not tell us something that conflicts with the Word. And it will not do anything that is contrary to the Lord's purpose. For example, not too long ago, there was a brother who proclaimed that the Spirit told him something. And it actually led to division and contentions and things like that. And so that person may be very convinced that it was the anointing speaking to him, but you have to look at the fruit, the result of that. And if the fruit of that so-called speaking from the anointing was division and confusion and contentions in the church, then that definitely was not the Spirit, right? So this is also where we need to learn how to hone our discernment, right? Because many times we still, I guess, you know, our hearing of the Lord is still not so great. And that's why we need Hebrews 4, that the Word can divide between the soul and the spirit, right? And we need to learn. The more we learn to discern what is of myself and what is of the anointing, you know, then we can, you know, we can get better at it. And we need to see, where does this lead? What is the result? And whatever the Spirit speaks, it will always lead to furthering of the growth of the church, the growth of myself. It brings me closer to the Lord. It brings me into life. You know, there's always a result that leads to life and furthering of the truth.
Amen.